الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعوة لا يستجاب لها. آمين يا رب العالمين. التهجد، سورة البقرة، آية نمبر 253 onwards. تلك الرسل فضلنا بعضهم على بعض، منهم من كلم الله ورفع بعضهم درجات، وآتينا عيسى ابن مريم البينات وأيدناه بروح القدس. Those messengers, some of them we caused to exceed others. Among them are those to whom Allah spoke, and He raised some in degree. And we gave Jesus, the son of Mary, clear proofs, and we supported him with the pure spirit, Jibril alayhi salam. If Allah had willed, those generations succeeding them would not have fought each other after the clear proofs had come to them. But they deferred, and some of them believed and some of them disbelieved. And if Allah had willed, they would not have fought each other. But Allah does what He intends. The Prophet, peace be upon him, has also taught us that we are not to differentiate between any of the prophets and argue about whose daraja is greater than another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah also, we will learn that we are not supposed to differentiate between any of the prophets. In fact, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a Muslim and a Jewish man started an argument. And it came to the extent where they started criticizing each other's prophets and saying that their prophet was greater than the other. So there became a verbal competition between Musa alayhi salam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Jewish man went and complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do not praise me above Musa alayhi salam, because on the day of resurrection, when he will be awoken," meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be awoken, "Musa alayhi salam will already be awake, leaning against the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Allah has given different miracles, different preferences to His prophets, and those differences are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not differentiate between any of the prophets, and we follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا مما رزقناهم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا بيع فيه ولا خلة ولا شفاعة والكافرون هم الظالمون. Allah talks about infaq again, spending in the path of Allah. O you who have believed, spend from that which we have provided for you before there comes a day in which there is no exchange and no friendship and no intercession, and the disbelievers, they are the wrongdoers. So spend against the disbelievers, spend in the path of Allah to establish Islam, to spread Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us over and over again to spend, because we try to do a lot of good for the sake of our deen, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but somehow we always hold back when it is time to spend. So the Quran reminds us over and over again that this is for our own good. This spending is going to help us on the day when we will not be able to exchange anything else. No friendship is going to help us, and no intercession will help us except by the will of Allah. So on that day, what will we have to save us, to increase our darajat, to save us from hellfire? It is the money that we spend for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anywhere that in this dunya, where anybody is doing any good for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must help them to the best of our ability. We are told to spend more than we think we can. Spend extra. Do not hold back. Be generous. Zainab radiallahu anha, the Ummahat from the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, was known as a woman with the long hands because she was so generous in spending. The Sahaba understood much more than us what the importance of spending was. Deen would not have been established if they had not spent on deen. You and I, we would not be Muslims today if they had not spent on deen. And they did not hold back. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the highest status. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah then says, Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum la ta'khuzuhu sinatan wala nawm. Allah, there is no one worthy of worship except Him. Al-hayy, He is the ever-living. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not born and He will not die. There is no one like Him. Al-qayyum, He is the one who sustains everything else. He does not need to be sustained. In fact, He is the one who sustains and establishes everything else. La ta'khuzuhu, does not overtake Him. Sinatun, any slumber. Wala nawm, any sleep. Lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. To Him belongs every single thing in the heavens and the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever living and He sustains everything and He never gets tired and He never sleeps, even for the shortest duration. And He guards everything really well. Because of that reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guards everything that belongs to Him, including us. Allah then asks a question. Man dhaladhi yashfa'u indahu illa bi'izni. Who is there who can intercede with Him for someone else, meaning for someone else, except by Allah's permission? Even intercession will only be allowed if Allah wills and He permits. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. He knows what is in front of them and what is behind them, what they are going to do in the future and what they have done in the past. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ. And they do not encompass anything at all from His ilm, from His knowledge. إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. Except what He wills. So whatever we know, whether it is religious knowledge or it is worldly knowledge, it is from the permission of Allah, because Allah has willed it. Alhamdulillah. Allah then says, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. His kursi, His footstool, it extends over the heavens and the earth. And note that Allah is not talking about His throne, Allah is talking about His footstool. It extends over the heavens and the earth. وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا. And does not tire Him the protection of the heavens and the earth, both of them. Allah does not get tired. وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. He is truly the one who is the highest and the most great. This is Ayatul Kursi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that Ayatul Kursi is the greatest ayah in the Qur'an. Why is it the greatest ayah in the Qur'an? Because this is the center of Tawheed. This is the center of Islam. This is the ultimate attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah. And only He is Al-Hayy, the ever-living, and Al-Qayyum, the one who subsists others, the one who sustains others. And He does not need to be sustained Himself. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. There is no one else like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever other nations have attributed to human beings, to prophets, to other so-called deities, to the sun, the moon, the stars, nothing can ever fit this description. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never gets tired. He never gets tired of taking care of the heavens and the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has complete control over every single thing. Whatever happens in the future, what has happened in the past is in His knowledge. And nobody can access even a little bit, a smidgen of knowledge, except by the mercy and the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He protects. Nothing else protects. No one else protects except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite Ayatul Kursi many times. He taught us to recite Ayatul Kursi at night before going to bed and doing dhamm over our bodies with our hands. So he would recite Ayatul Kursi, blow on his hands and rub his hands over his body from the head down to wherever it reached below his knees. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to recite Ayatul Kursi right after Fard Salah. And he said, in meaning that someone who recites Ayatul Kursi after Fard Salah every time, then nothing will prevent that person from going into Jannah. May Allah make us of those people. Ameen. But we have to completely understand this ayah. We also have to understand its importance, its meaning, not just what it can do for us. Because remember, to use the Quran only for the purposes of worldly benefit is not enough, and it is not the reason why the Quran was revealed. We need to understand deeply the meaning of this ayah, the greatest ayah in the Quran. If one does that, the mu'min, the believer, becomes the strongest believer and does not get pressured or intimidated or scared or fearful of anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That being said, this ayah also helps us with worldly benefit. How? Once Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was protecting the treasury, and a man came in and he at night time and he wanted to steal, so Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu caught him. The man said, "Let me go and I will not come back." So he let him go. And the next night the man came again, and Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu again caught him. The man pleaded and said, "Let me go, I will not return." So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu felt sorry for him and let him go. Now the whole time Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu had informed the Prophet, peace be upon him, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that your visitor is going to continue to come back. So the third night when this happened again, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu caught him and said, "I'm going to take you to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." At that the man said that, "I will teach you some words. If you recite them, then I will not be able to come back." And he mentioned Ayatul Kursi. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed in the morning, and he told Abu Huraira his visitor was Shaitan. So reciting Ayatul Kursi in our homes actually protects our homes and our property as well. Because it's not just the jinn, the shayateen, that come and steal, but they will inspire the human shayateen to come and steal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in His mercy protected us from the unseen. Otherwise we would be afraid all the time. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, "La ikraha fid deen." There shall be no compulsion and acceptance of religion. The right course has become clear from the error. Meaning that no one will be compelled to accept Islam. Each one of us has been given a clear choice. Allah then says, "So whoever disbelieves in Tahut," Tahut is any single thing that takes you away from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or any false object of worship such as idols, heavenly bodies, spirits, human beings, anything. So Allah says, "So whoever disbelieves in Tahut and believes in Allah," meaning first you have to remove every single thing from your lives and from your heart as far as belief in their powers is concerned. This is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. La means not. So I negate any other ilah and then I believe in Allah. Allah says, "So whoever disbelieves in Tahut and believes in Allah has grasped the most trustworthy handhold with no break in it. And Allah is hearing and knowing." What is this worthy handhold? Bil urwatil wusqa lanfisama laha. Or al-urwat al-wusqa, the most trustworthy handhold. A beautiful explanation is given in a Sahih Hadith from Bukhari and Muslim. This narration is from Imam Ahmad. Qais bin Abbad said, I was in the masjid when a man whose face showed signs of humbleness came and prayed two rakahs that were modest in length. The people said, this is a man from among the people of paradise. When he left, I followed him until he entered his house, and I entered it after him and spoke with him. When he felt at ease, I said to him, when you entered the masjid, the people said such and such. He said, all praises to Allah, alhamdulillah, no one should say what he has no knowledge of. I will tell you why they said that. I saw a vision during the time of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I narrated it to him. I saw that I was in a green garden, and he described the garden's plants and spaciousness. And there was an iron pole in the middle of the garden, and it was affixed in the earth, and its tip reached the sky. On its tip there was a handle, and I was told to ascend the pole. I said, I cannot. Then a helper came and raised my rope from behind me and said to me, ascend. I ascended until I grasped the handle, and he said to me, hold on to the handle. I awoke from that dream with the handle in my hand. I went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him about the vision, and he said, as for the garden, it represents Islam. As for the pole, it represents the pillar of Islam, and the handle represents the most trustworthy handhold. You shall remain Muslim until you die. Alhamdulillah. This companion, according to Bukhari and Muslim, was Abdullah bin Salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also said that Quran is a rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, if you hold on to him, then nobody can break that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold on to that relationship. May Allah make us of those. Ameen. Allah is the wali. He is the ally of those who believe. What does it mean to be a wali? Wali means a close protecting friend. All those things that take away from Allah are taghut. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the true wali. Allah says, Allah is the ally of those who believe. He brings them out from the darknesses into the light. And those who disbelieve, their allies are taghut. Their wali, their awliya are taghut. Allah says, what do they do to them? They take them out of the light into darknesses. Those are the companions of the fire. They will abide eternally therein. So who would be foolish enough to let go of the handhold of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most trustworthy handhold? But the only way to do that is to affirm complete tawheed. May Allah make us of those. Ameen. May Allah make us die as muwahideen. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. In the next ayah, Allah asks another question. Have you not considered the one who argued with Abraham about his Lord merely because Allah had given him kinship? Who was that? This was Nimrod, who was king at the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah says, when Abraham said, my Lord is the one who gives life and causes death, he said, I give life and cause death. Subhanallah, what a cruel king. Ibrahim alayhi salam then said, Allah brings up the sun from the east, so bring it up from the west. So the disbeliever was overwhelmed by astonishment. And Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided Ibrahim alayhi salam with the best logical argument, because Allah says that he does not guide people who do not believe in him, people who are unjust and do zulm. Allah says, or consider such an example as the one who passed by a township which had fallen into ruin. He said, how will Allah bring this to life after its death? So it is a prophet we do not know the name of, who passed by a township, and he wanted to know how Allah would bring this whole township that was dead back to life. It used to exist before, but it did not exist anymore. So he wondered. Allah says, so Allah caused him, meaning that person, to die for 100 years. Then he revived him. He said, how long have you remained? He, the man, said, I have remained a day or part of a day. He said, rather, you have remained 100 years. Look at your food and your drink. It has not changed with time. Allahu Akbar. He had died and he was brought back to life, but his food and drink had remained unchanged, undecayed over 100 years. Allah then says, "And look at your donkey, and we will make you a sign for the people. And look at the bones of this donkey, how we raised them, and then we covered them with flesh. All of this happened in front of the man's eyes." Allah says, "And when it became clear to him, he said, 'I know that Allah is over all things competent. أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ.'" And mentioned when Abraham said, "My Lord, show me how you give life to the dead." Allah said, "Have you not believed?" So Allah asked a question. He said, "Are you asking this because you don't believe?" He, Ibrahim alayhi salam, said, "Yes, but I ask only that my heart be satisfied." Allah said, "Take 4 birds and commit them to yourself," meaning to train them to come to your command. "Then after slaughtering them, put on each hill a portion of them, then call them. They will come flying to you in haste. And know that Allah is exalted in might and wise. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ." So the birds came flying back to Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is the power of Allah. And we see this changing of life and death in front of us. A dry seed, it is dead. But out of it comes out the most beautiful, the most delicate, the most green of seedling. There is nothing in a mother's womb. Out of it comes this beautiful child, living, breathing with a personality. We see sometimes people have a cardiac arrest, for example, and their heart stops, but they come back to life. There have been many people who have said that they have experienced something beyond that, beyond the time where their heart stopped. Subhanallah. And they have come back to relay it. Doctors in this OR, they see this all the time. The people coming back to life after many minutes have passed away. Even after people have been pronounced dead, Allah has brought them back to life. It happens even today. May Allah make us see the truth as truth. Ameen. And raise our iman. Ameen. Allah then says, "The example of those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah is like a seed of grain which grows 7 spikes. In each spike is 100 grains. And Allah multiplies His reward for whom He wills. And Allah is all-encompassing and knowing." Wallahu wasi'un alim. Why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned spending now? It seems that as if it is all of a sudden, but it is not. Allah had mentioned spending before as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then explained who He is and what He can do, so that our iman increases, so we do not doubt at all. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now at this point where our iman level is very high, He inspires us to spend. And He tells us that because He can bring the dead back to life, Allah can also increase our money, our wealth, in this dunya and akhirah. Allah multiplies it for whomever He wills. Allah says, "Those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah and then do not follow up what they have spent with reminders of it or other injury will have their reward with their Lord, and there will be no fear concerning them, nor will they grieve." One of the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not speak to or look at on the Day of Judgment is someone who has given in charity and then has reminded that he has given in charity to that person. Subhanallah. Allah says, "Kind speech and forgiveness are better than charity followed by injury." Allah is teaching us, if you think you will not be able to control yourself, don't give. Just be kind to people and forgive others, because that is a sadaqah as well. Allah accepts things that are done beautifully, because Allah is beautiful. Allah is perfect, and He is the noblest of all. Allah says, and Allah is free of need and forbearing. Wallahu ghaniyun al-halim. Allah does not need us to give, especially if we give and then remind others that we have given them in charity. Allah says, "O you who have believed, do not invalidate your charities with reminders of it or injury, as does one who spends his wealth only to be seen by the people and does not believe in Allah and the last day." Allah stresses it all over again. This is so important to him. Allah says, you will invalidate your charities if you remind people. Do not mention it, and shaitan will inspire you to talk about it. Shaitan, it will whisper to you to talk about it. We have to have a lot of self-control. Sometimes we get angry with the people who we have helped. SubhanAllah, that is a time when a lot of us will say that, you remember I gave you such and such. A'udhu billah. That charity then is destroyed. May Allah uphold our charities for akhirah. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah says, the person who spends his wealth to be seen by people and does not believe in Allah and the last day, his example is like that of a large smooth stone upon which is dust and is hit by a downpour that leaves it bare. They are unable to keep anything of what they have earned, and Allah does not guide the disbelieving people. The opposite example that Allah gives in the Quran is of a garden that is lush. People who give in charity with a pure heart just to seek the pleasure of Allah. So Allah says that even if a little bit of moisture falls on it and it blooms. On the other hand, people who give simply to be seen by others and they don't have any real emotions behind it, real emotion of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, real sincerity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whatever they give is like dust, and as soon as water hits it, it just washes away instead of growing. Allah says they are unable to keep anything of what they have earned, and Allah does not guide the disbelieving people. And the example of those who spend their wealth seeking means to the approval of Allah and assuring reward for themselves is like a garden on high which is hit by a downpour. So it yields its fruits in double. And even if it is not hit by a downpour, then a drizzle is sufficient and Allah of what you do is seeing. What beautiful examples. Two opposite kinds of people. The previous ayah is about people who spend simply to show off or simply to belong to a group. And the other person is someone who seeks only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, would one of you like to have a garden of palm trees and grapevines, underneath which rivers flow, in which he has from every fruit? Yes, of course. May Allah make us of those people. Ameen. Allah says, but he is afflicted with old age and has weak, meaning immature, offspring. So Allah is giving another example of a person who has a beautiful garden. It has palm trees, it has grapevines, and rivers flow through that property, that beautiful orchard. Allah says, but he is afflicted with old age and has weak offspring, immature offspring, meaning the children cannot take over from him. Allah then says, and it is hit by a whirlwind containing fire and is burned. So that orchard is hit by a storm and it completely is burned to the ground. Allah says, thus does Allah make clear to you his verses that you might give thought. So this is an example of someone who has spent their entire life working to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the very end, it is completely destroyed by their own deeds, by their own choices. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevent us from being of those people. Ameen. Allah says, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, anfiqu, O you who have believed, spend from the good things which you have earned and from that which we have produced for you from the earth. And do not aim toward the defective therefrom, spending from that while you would not take it yourself except with closed eyes. And know that Allah is free of need and praiseworthy. أَنَّ اللَّهَ وَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌ حَمِيدٌ. This is the other protocol of spending. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not give to others something that you would never accept yourself if you were given it. Old, tattered, smelly clothes, subhanallah, broken things, dirty things. Aisha radiallahu anha used to put perfume on any money that she would give away, because she was taught that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes charity with his right hand before it is given to others. Alhamdulillah. Allah is full of praise and he is completely free of need. from our charity. It is we who need the charity. It is we who need to give the charity because it is beneficial for us. Allah does not need it.
الشيطان يعيدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء.
Allah says, Satan threatens you with poverty and orders you to immorality, fahsha. Fahsha means vulgarity, indecency. And it is immorality and indecency to not spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas He is the one who has given us this wealth. But fahsha also means indecency, immorality, vulgarity. So Allah says, Satan threatens you with two main things. One is that you are going to become poor if you spend in the way of Allah. And the other is to do indecent things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. Allah says, well, Allah promises you forgiveness from Him and bounty. And Allah is all-encompassing and knowing. He gives wisdom to whom He wills. يُؤْتِ الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاء. What is hikmah? Hikmah is wisdom, the ability to know what to do, when and how. And this is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wisdom is to understand that Allah will not make us poor. He will not let us be poor when we spend in His cause. Hikmah is to know that Allah does not like immorality. Allah says He gives wisdom to whom He wills. And whoever has been given wisdom has certainly been given much good. And none will understand, none will remember except those of understanding. Allah says, and whatever you spend of expenditures or make of vows, indeed Allah knows of it. And for the wrongdoers, there are no helpers. So when we do another, for example, when we promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will do a special ibadah for Him if He answers our dua, that is allowed in Islam. But Allah says, you must fulfill those vows. Allah says, if you disclose your charitable expenditures, they are good. But if you conceal them and give them to the poor, it is better for you. Why is it better? So that it will not be mingled in with hypocrisy and riya, showing off. Allah says, and He will remove from you some of your misdeeds thereby, by giving charity. So giving sadaqah extinguishes the anger of Allah and it removes our sins. And Allah with what you do is fully acquainted. So as soon as one realizes that he or she has committed a sin, at once we must repent to Allah, seek His forgiveness and give in charity. Allah says charity is for the poor who have been restricted for the cause of Allah, unable to move about in the land. An ignorant person would think themselves sufficient because of their restraint, but you will know them by their characteristic sign, by their humility. Their piety is evident on their faces. So give charity to people who are unable to earn money for themselves, but they do need money. Every human being needs money to carry on, because these people are very busy working in the cause of Allah. They are doing da'wah. They are teaching people, learning deen. So help them, Allah says. Allah says, they do not ask people persistently or at all. They have iffah, they have honor. And whatever you spend of good, indeed Allah is knowing of it. Allah says, those who spend their wealth in Allah's way, by night and by day, secretly and publicly, they will have their reward with their Lord. And no fear will there be concerning them, nor will they grieve. وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. They will not fear anything in the future. They will not have any stress or anxiety, nor will they grieve for their past lives and what they wasted of it. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us spending by night and by day, secretly and publicly. Zakah should be spent publicly because it is obligatory. It is mandatory for us to spend and it encourages people. But the best sadaqah is one that is given in secret, the one that is given when a person still needs money and is hoping to be rich. And the Prophet ﷺ said that is the best kind of sadaqah. One of the two kinds of people we are allowed to envy, according to Rasulullah ﷺ, is a rich person who spends by night and by day in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a different kind of people. Allah says, those who consume interest cannot stand on the day of resurrection except as one stands who is being beaten by Satan into insanity. That is because they say trade is just like interest. But Allah has permitted trade and has forbidden interest. So whoever has received an admonition from his Lord and desists, meaning stops, may have what is past and his affair rests with Allah. But whoever returns to dealing in interest or usury, those are the companions of the fire. They will abide eternally therein. Allah destroys interest and gives increase for charities. And Allah does not like every sinning disbeliever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is presenting the example of two kinds of people. And with these ayat, Allah is telling us that they are not the same. People who give in charity according to the protocol set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply to seek His pleasure cannot be the one who takes, consumes or deals in interest. These ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah are actually the fourth and the last revelation about this topic, about riba. The first revelation is set in Surah Al-Rum, verse number 39, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "That which you give as riba to increase the people's wealth increases not with God, but that which you give in charity, seeking the goodwill of God, multiplies manifold." So Allah in essence is discouraging people from giving riba. Then the second revelation is set in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 161. "And for taking riba, even though it was forbidden for them, and their wrongful appropriation of other people's property, we have prepared for those among them who reject faith a grievous punishment." So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to giving riba, giving interest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has strongly discouraged people from giving riba and taking riba. In the third revelation, which is in Surah Ali Imran, verses 130 to 132, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "O believers, take not doubled and redoubled riba, and fear God so that you may prosper. Fear the fire which has been prepared for those who reject faith, and obey God and the Prophet so that you may receive mercy." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in essence is saying that people who deal in interest and riba and they take riba or they give riba will not prosper. On the other hand, people who obey God and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning obviously those who do not deal in riba, are the ones who will hope to receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us of those people. Ameen. There are multiple hadiths on this topic. There is a sahih hadith in Sahih Muslim. According to Jabir radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed the receiver and the payer of riba, the one who records it and the two witnesses to the transaction, and said, "They are all alike," meaning in guilt. According to another hadith, at the Prophet's farewell pilgrimage, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed the people and said, "All of the riba of Jahiliyyah is annulled. The first riba that I annul is our riba, that occurring to Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, the Prophet's uncle." He said, "It is being cancelled completely." This is according to Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also reported to have said, "A dirham of riba which a man receives knowingly is worse than committing adultery 36 times. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "On the night of ascension, I came upon people whose stomachs were like houses with snakes visible from the outside. When I asked Jibreel alayhi salam who they were, he replied that they were people who had received riba." This is in Ibn Majah and Musnad Ahmad. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Riba has 70 segments, the least serious being equivalent to a man committing adultery with his own mother." Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, "There will certainly come a time for mankind when everyone will take riba, and if he does not do so, its dust will reach them." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, "God would be justified in not allowing four persons to enter paradise or to taste its blessings: he who drinks habitually, he who takes riba, he who usurps an orphan's property without right, And he who is undutiful to his parents, may Allah save us from being of those. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. And nowadays, many different options are presented to avoid riba. But each one of us must do thorough checking and thorough investigation to make sure that the options that are presented in modern times, the so-called Islamic economic systems of lending, are actually in line with the Sharia, with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the teachings of the Quran. May Allah make it easy for us and may Allah forgive us. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah says in ayah number 277, indeed those who believe and do righteous deeds and establish prayer and give zakah will have their reward with their Lord, and there will be no fear concerning them, nor will they grieve. O you who have believed, fear Allah and give up what remains due to you of interest, if you should be believers. So again, the caveat is that we should be believers. If we claim that we are believers, then we would try our very level best to rid ourselves of this grave sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us in the next ayah how grave it actually is. Allah says, and if you do not, meaning if you do not give up of the interest that you are involved in, Allah says, and if you do not, then be informed of a war against you from Allah and His Messenger. But if you repent, you may have your capital. Thus you do no wrong, nor are you wronged. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned against a war with Him and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And imagine who can possibly win a war or even have a war with Allah and His Messenger. This is why the ulama say that this is perhaps the strictest ayah in the entire Quran, because the punishment for this is far greater than anything else that has been described in the Quran for any other sin. May Allah forgive us, Ameen, and have mercy upon us, Ameen. Allah says, and if someone is in hardship, then let there be postponement until a time of ease. But if you give from your right at charity, then it is better for you if you only knew. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging to let people go and be easy upon people when they borrow money from you. Instead of charging them interest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants Muslims to be a different kind of community. Allah says, instead of charging them interest, be lenient to them. Give out money as loan in way of charity. Yes, you should get your principal back, but do not charge beyond that. In fact, there's a beautiful hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, in meaning that a person on the Day of Judgment would stand before Allah, and when questioned by Allah, he would admit that he does not have any good deeds in his account. The man will be honest, but then he will remember and say that I do remember that I used to lend money because I was a rich man on earth, but I would be lenient to the people to whom I had lent money. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that Allah has more right to be lenient, and Allah will forgive that man. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be generous, because taking riba and charging people for lending money to them is something that is completely against the philosophy of Islam, because it also destroys communities and nations. Allah says in the next ayah, and fear a day when you will be returned to Allah. Then every soul will be compensated for what it earned, and they will not be wronged, meaning treated unjustly.